Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm Peyton Jones, and on today's journey, I'll be your guide through Acts 18, where Paul puts down roots for a time. 18 months to be exact. So far, this is the longest he'll stay anywhere on his missionary journeys, only spending on average of 3 to 4 months at a time in each town until he hits Corinth. It will be a strategic place for Paul because he'll make some important and lasting friendships that will catalyze mission for him and for the kingdom forever. Maybe you've had friendships that spurred you on in good things, like a study partner, someone who helped you get physically fit, or stimulated your appetite for reading books, or someone who just helped you be a nicer person. And looking back, you know that without them in your life, you'd not be the same person you are today. Well, that could be said of Aquila and Priscilla in regards to Paul, as we'll see later in the book of Acts. Let's start in verse 1 and see how they met. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There, he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Let's be honest. After all the herring from town to town, from Thessalonica to Berea to Athens, Paul shows up in Corinth a little worse for wear. The apostle is harried and hunted, not quite feeling himself after having been beaten, persecuted, separated from his team, and fatigued from travel. Paul's second missionary journey totaled nearly 6 months of travel, 155 days on foot, and roughly 20 days at sea, roughly 2,800 miles in total. Years later, Paul looks back on his arrival here in Corinth, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, that I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. And Acts 17:15 told us that Paul sent a message back with his escort for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible in Corinth. Exhausted, Paul makes his way back to the bustling trade city, which is known as the Seat of Achaia. And Paul spends 18 months here, mainly because of the lifelong ministry partnership he forges during this time with Aquila and Priscilla. Jews from Rome, they were a breath of fresh air to him, and give him work for his hands, a bed to sleep in, and a place to hide for a time. Paul couldn't have known, though, how strategic this partnership would become for the spread of the gospel throughout the entire Mediterranean. But finally, Silas and Timothy join Paul in Athens and learn the tent-making trade so that Paul can, verse 5, devote himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Prior to their arrival, Paul, despite his fatigue, has been going to the synagogue on weekends, giving his day off on the Sabbath to telling others about Jesus. In himself, Paul had nothing left to give, but the power of Christ rested upon him, as he reminded the Corinthians years later that when he was weak, he was strong. And Paul confounds the Jews in the synagogue with supernatural authority, resulting in many of them coming to faith. Verse 6. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. God's promise of safety is immediately fulfilled when the Jews bring him before the local ruler and accuse him of perverting Judaism. Before Paul can even open his mouth in response, the ruler defends Paul and waves the crowd away. So verse 18 tells us, Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. Now, you and I know that as a Nazirite vow, one where you grow your hair long to show your dedication to God. Maybe this was helpful on Paul's mission to the Jews, but definitely helpful were Priscilla and Aquila. So they sail on to Ephesus with Paul. Verse 19. They arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it's God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. We all love the Indiana Jones movies, where Indy's travels are traced across the map with the Indy theme playing in the background. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like Indy, Paul covers a lot of ground in these verses. Corinth, Ephesus, Caesarea, Jerusalem, and Antioch. Whew! But here, the story shifts to the travels of someone else. Enter Apollos. Verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with a great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Apollos, he was a gifted speaker, eloquent, young, charismatic, and he'll draw a loyal following in Corinth, as Paul will later chastise the Corinthians in his letter for stating, "I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas," as if they got to pick their favorite speaker. But for now, Apollos, despite his eloquence, doesn't even fully understand the gospel. But we'll have to wait until the next chapter to hear more about that on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.